Hello. First, an apology. There was no podcast on Wednesday, as promised. I was kind of planning to put this one out on Wednesday, but we decided, me and Molly, who's today's guest, decided that we wanted to add in a couple of her poems that she'd been writing whilst in lockdown, whilst in isolation. She's writing a poem, I think, every day at the moment. So for those of you who don't know, for the people that don't know, I think April is National Poetry Writing Month. There's some mad abbreviation of it that I can't say. But yeah, so Molly, I think, is trying to write, because obviously locked inside, she's trying to write a poem every day, and a lot of them are to do with lockdown. So she's recorded and sent me two with some nice music from my pal Tam in the background. So there's going to be a couple of those in the podcast. I think I'll stick one directly after this intro, so you'll hear that. And then we'll hear the actual intro music, also by Tam, and then we'll go to the podcast. And then I think I'll stick one at the end before, either before or after my outro. I've not decided yet. But yeah, they're great, so enjoy them. And if you, there'll also be links to Molly's Instagram and things on in the info section for this podcast. So have a look there, and you'll be able to follow her on social media and read the poems that she's putting up daily. Cool. Well, I hope everyone's lockdown's okay. I hope everyone's managing okay. I've been going for some really long runs. I don't know why, but it's become kind of like a competitive thing between me and my friends. I think we actually spoke about that in the last episode with Daryl. And today I was thrilled with myself because I ran 13k. It's the furthest I've ever ran. And then as I was in Asda standing getting my supplies for the weekend, which I'll be honest was mostly beer and Final Fantasy VII, as I was doing that, I took my phone out and saw that one of my mates had ran a half marathon. So I was just, I felt so outdone. But congratulations, Sam. Great effort. Anyway, back to podcast stuff. Also, I don't condone going to the shop for just beer and Final Fantasy video games. We'll go for. I was also getting my food and things for the weekend as well, and I thought as a little indulgence, I'll get the game. And as my friend said, it'll keep me inside longer in the long run. So maybe a good investment. Anyway, back to the podcast stuff. Yeah, we recorded this over Skype, of course, or I think this was Zoom actually. And there was one part where we kind of lost each other and we broke up. I considered trying to leave that bit in so that people knew when it happened, but then I saw any way to kind of easily edit around it. So the podcast should run seamlessly. Apologies if it isn't the best quality the whole way through, because obviously we're relying on our internet connections. And if you can spot the point where we actually had to cut out and start again, congratulations, well done. Feel free to contact me and let me know that you sort of spotted that little Easter egg. And speaking of Easter, I hope everyone has a happy Easter and stay inside during the lockdown. If you're going to venture out, maybe buy an incredibly long video game like I have to keep you inside for even longer. And yeah, hope everyone's having a lovely time. Okay, thanks guys, and I'll be back at the end. Cheers.
It's a silence, but for the sirens outside and the wind whistling like pleuritic lungs. Something wicked this way comes, something somber grips the sullen. Grey faces downturned, trust no one. Nerves like sponge sugar, nervous smiles exchanged with every vague stranger, a potential danger. The pale horse cometh in the form of every other poor bastard still using public transport to commute. But what can you do? In times of pestilence or plague, we wage slaves still have rent to pay. The feast is postponed indefinitely. Now we get acquainted with famine. It is silent, but for the birds calling, No dawn chorus but a morning toll, though the first of spring still blooms eternal in early cherry blossom and snowdrop, emboldened in the absence of anthropogenics and untouched by this new chaos, Ostara comes and goes as it always has. And the birds of course know little of missing wage packets or moral panics or stock market crashes or hand sanitizer, but they understand scarcity all right, and fear. They understand that too.
Myself, that's fine. My name is Molly McLaughlin. I'm a good friend of Nathan's. I've been on the podcast a couple of times before, and I'm a poet from Aberdeen.
How are you finding lockdown, Molly?
See, to be honest, I'm actually fine. Still, like, obviously, as you were saying, we were having a conversation the other day about how it's like reaching a point where it's no longer than you would usually go without seeing folk. You will go in your general life a week or two without seeing your pals because you're busy, but it's starting to get to the point where it's getting quite long. But I'm quite a solitary person. I think you're probably similar. Although you must be missing your Muay Thai.
Yeah, let's say I do like to stay in, but I am generally out quite a lot at the gym and obviously work. But now I don't have any of that. It's just like sit about the flat. So I'm not even working from home. Like I'm just furloughed.
What, are you furloughed?
Yeah. So I'm just cutting about trying not to irritate Fiona as she as she works from home.
Yeah, she'll still be working. See, although I'm working for RGU as well, I'm not working for home from them. I'm still getting my wage because their like funding comes from different like sources. But obviously, because I work reception there, so it's not a job that transfers to home working. There's no need for a receptionist then. But I have been working at the charity that I work at on like equality stuff. I'm still working from home there, supposed to be 16 hours a week. It's usually more than that, but still, like, I'm finding I've got so much free time at the moment because I'm not doing my other job as well.
Yeah.
So you must be the same.
Yeah. What have you been doing?
Furloughed.
Yeah.
You're getting 80% of your paycheck then.
Yeah. Should be.
Well, that at least that's better than nothing.
Totally. What have you been doing to fill your time?
Well, this kitten takes quite a lot of supervision. Like, we got a kitten just at the start of, like, lockdown. We had arranged to get her. We'd already, like, I was already organised, you know, before the coronavirus situation, before shit hit the fan. So we decided, like, still would get her. And it's actually been good because baby kittens, you take them home at 8 weeks old, they need quite a lot of supervision and attention. Need people being home quite a lot at first to make sure they don't get themselves into too much trouble. And so it's actually the perfect time because we're both home all the fucking time. So,
as I'm
like, did you see that she fell into the toilet the other night?
I did, yes.
Yeah, it was terrible. So the other night, I woke up about 3 a.m. and my boyfriend, who I live with, who is very good friends with Nathan, was like jumping over me out of bed. And like, you know, Nathan will testify to this. Like, Tam is not a man who generally does anything in a rush. It was pretty much the fastest I've ever seen him move. And then there was this, like, splashing, frantic splashing and, like, little squeaks, kitten squeaks. I was like, holy fuck, we've left the toilet seat up. She's in the toilet. She jumped in, couldn't get back out. And, like, we had to, she was soaking. Luckily, the toilet had been flushed and was clean. So it's fine. But she was pretty traumatised. We were all pretty traumatised.
Was Keith just, like, looking smugly over?
Well, we're keeping them separate just now. Keith is not a third flatmate. Keith, we should probably clarify. Keith is an older cat, another cat. Keith and Audrey, which also Tam's brother-in-law, Gregor, their neighbours are called Keith and Audrey, which we didn't realise.
That's bizarre.
We didn't know.
That's bizarre.
I know. What a coincidence. We're keeping them separate right now. So we've... she's kind of relegated to our bedroom unless he's outside, in which case we let her have a wander about the flat. We are, like, supervising kind of them being in the same room, same space, but mostly she's relegated to the bedroom and he's got the run of the flat, but he's nae happy at all. Like, he's just a grumpy old man. He's like 15 and the noises he was making earlier, like, he literally sounded like the noise a grumpy old man make. He was like, like, just grumbling. I was like, Keith, get a hold, grow up. She's so small, like, how could she be any threat to you? She's more scared of you than you are of her.
Yeah,
but anyway, we should probably move on from my cats because I could talk about them all day. But they've been mostly filling my time, but in isolation. Also, it's National Poetry Writing Month, so I tried to write a poem every day during April, which I've never completed before, but I'm managing so far. I've not done today's yet.
No. Are you
That's
doing
my
like-
task for after this.
Have you done any live streams yet, like poetry streams? I saw you.
I have. Yeah, I have. I did one on Thursday for the quarantine stream sessions, which is like a Facebook page hosting mostly musicians, but it was a takeover for the Spit It Out project, who are based in Edinburgh, I believe, although I think the members, they're collective, I think the members are quite spread out. It includes, like, do you know B. Asha from the Honey Farm and Gloria Black, who plays in Iona Lee's band? Like,
okay.
If you know who Iona Lee is.
Yeah, yeah.
She's another poet. So they're both members. They were doing a takeover of this quarantine stream session. So I did a set for that. It was great. I think I'll still be online. Like, it was on Facebook Live. So I'm pretty sure you can still go back and watch it. It was a fundraiser for The Good Store, who's a refillery kind of zero waste shop in Edinburgh, but they do a lot of they're involved with a lot of local food banks in Scotland and the Fair Share scheme and things like that, so the money was going towards those efforts. And then also I recorded a set for Johnny Cypher, who runs Extra Second in Glasgow. He's put together submissions for various people of end of the world quarantine poetry as well, but he's got a shite laptop and it's taken him a really long time to edit it all together. So we're not sure when that's going to be online. But yeah, it's fine because all we've got is time at the moment. Right? So.
No, totally. Although,
how was the did you do that? Did you do a Peep Show pub quiz with Big Andy last night?
I did. Yeah. Big Mad Andy.
We missed it. Big Mad Andy. And we just watched the episode as well, before we went out, just before you messaged us about it. We had just watched the episode of Peep Show where Jeremy is life coaching him, and then batters him.
Yeah.
So I was like, Big Mad Andy was like looming large in my mind.
Yeah. the quiz was good, but it's done on like Twitch. So people like can send in comments, and there's like a guy who runs, who's like the facilitator for it, this guy Giles, and then it's him and Big Mad Andy both doing it remotely, and you could just see how pissed off they were getting with people like sending them insults or like asking to have questions repeated. So that was kind of a bit of a downer, because you could see they were both absolutely hating it.
Mm.
And the questions were really fucking hard.
Maybe you should have sent them like lots of love to compensate for it.
I would have liked to, but
you should have sent them compliments.
It was quite a stressful experience.
Big Mad Andy.
Yeah. He just kept getting asked to say fuck off, fuck right off.
Mad Andy, will you come and kick my bathroom door in, please?
No, no one asked him that.
No, that's what I would have asked him.
Nah, he just kept getting asked to say fuck off, fuck right off.
Fuck right off. Dandy. And then he tries to drink the paint. What's your favourite Peep Show episode?
Whatever. The one...
Yeah. Or your favourite scene.
I think I don't know if I could have a favourite scene. It's hard. My favourite episode is the Project Zeus.
Yeah.
Like that.
I think either the Rainbow Rhythms episode.
It's very good.
Or the episode in the final season where April and Angus come around for the dinner party and Jeremy writes I love you and marks Islands.
I can't cope with that episode. When he's making that
We watched it last night. It's too good.
When he's making that weird dish, whatever the fuck it's meant to be, it's like...
With like the eggs. He's like, I hate to be the one to call you a racist at my dinner party, Angus. Yeah, and the cocktail with vinegar and gin and...
It's too much for me. I got like upset watching it for him.
It is quite overwhelming, too cringe. That's how I feel about like almost any content Ricky Gervais is involved in making. Like I just can't. I find it unwatchable.
Yeah.
Because just I'm too upset by the amount I'm cringing. Can't handle it.
Yeah, I know. I do like The Office and Extras. I was a big fan, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, The Office is good, but David Brent is. The worst. Just the worst.
What do you make of the whole coronavirus situation in general? Were you surprised that it's come to this point?
Not really. Do you know what? I actually wrote something about it. This is just what happens every, like, it happens every 100 years or so. Particularly virulent and nasty strain of some microscopic freak show will transfer to humanity, and humanity being as it is, people will travel, and because we're social beasts, so they'll move around and global trade, etc. And then it'll be all over the world, and it happened before, and it'll happen again. I don't know. I'm unfazed. It's sad that people are like dying in their fucking thousands, though. Obviously it's like unpleasant, but I think I'm quite I've got new medication and I'm quite detached to these days to like all the suffering in the world, you know, I used to be far too like personally invested in the news and whatnot, and I would get really really, really like emotionally affected by this, just the state of the world. I think I've actually spoken about that possibly on this podcast before, about like kind of political and activist burnout.
I think you did maybe, touch on it.
Maybe like the first time I was on. I can't remember where I was going with that.
Do you feel it's like definitely easier for you personally to like kind of try and remove yourself from like unpleasant things that are going on in the world
now that I'm on this new course of education?
Or just in general, do you feel like it's...
Or in general. Yeah, I think it's something that I have been working on myself anyway. Mm-hmm. And like I had been, it's obviously, yeah, it is something that you just need to, if you're that type of like bleeding heart personality, like it's good to give a fuck, obviously, and it's like honourable and admirable to care. But if you're getting too like bogged down by the atrocities in the world, then you're never going to be able to like make any meaningful difference. So I had already been like working on, yeah, trying to be more detached from things. But I think recently, like I had quite a bad like kind of break, mental health break towards the end of last year, about November time. And started sertraline and propranolol, which is a different like combination of meds I've had for, and the difference is like actually night and day. Like I can't believe how much more rational I am now in comparison. So like if this coronavirus crisis had hit 6 months ago or like this time last year, then I might not have been as like blasé about it as I am. I mean, I'm not blasé. It's obviously, it's fucking scary, but I'm not like having panic attacks constantly about it. You know, I'm able to have a bit of perspective and like go about my day still without being crippled by like, but I think also the job that I have now has helped with that, because I feel like useful. Like I've got a job that I actually give a shit about and is like useful. And I think that helps, having that kind of sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Will help you not get too focused on all the like big picture stuff, because you've got to focus on what you've actually got to do here. The people that are in front of you, like how are you going to help those people that are there today, rather than thinking, oh my God, Palestine and fucking all the rest. You know, can't live like that.
What else do you think has helped you kind of get that distance? Because I think there'll probably be a lot of people just now struggling. Yeah, not to be get wrapped up in things. So
I think there'll be a lot of people that have pretty like healthy in their minds before, will possibly be like struggling with some mental symptoms of mental illness for the first time because of this. Like, because this, for me, this like kind of having to stay in your house for weeks at a time, barely leaving or talking to anyone, that's not new for me. Like I do that every year all winter when I have like really bad seasonal depressions. I'm used to it. Like that are social guys, and suddenly all of their kind of social contact's been cut off. There'll be a lot of people struggling for the first time. Well, extreme situations like this will always, like, they'll precipitate, like, the kind of symptoms that people that have been struggling with their mental health, they're well used to those symptoms, but they're going to be precipitated in people that maybe haven't struggled with them before. And I think they're probably seeing it already. Which I've been kind of heartwarming to see, like the community response to the virus and how communities have like rallied together in a way that really I've never seen before in the UK. I'm in Aberdeen, it's been great. There's all sorts of mutual aid groups that have like started up. One of them, the health one, has like a phone line for a mental health phone line as well.
Okay.
I don't know if you, did you know that? Like, just, no. Just for, I mean, it's just volunteers staffing it just for folk that want to chat. Like,
yeah.
Need someone to talk to, but they've said, so that's Aberdeen Health and Hands is the name of the group. And they've got like posters and stuff. That's been really, that's that's been really good. That'll work to offset some of the kind of mental health concerns that will be brought about by this. But I'll tell you one thing, right? See, as like a third sector worker, charity worker, you know, like working to support people that need extra support, you know, during this crisis. It was clear before, but it's clearer than ever now, like the extent to which the third sector is being forced to pick up the slack of a failing welfare state is like absolutely shocking. It's shocking.
Yeah.
Like the amount of people that are reliant on like CFINE and like food banks and other kind of social enterprise in Aberdeen alone. I don't know what the situation is like in the rest of Scotland as intimately, but I know it's much the same.
Yeah.
It's mad. It's really like, I feel like one good thing about this, and I don't know if you'll agree with me, Nathan, is that it's shown like how easy it is for the government and the powers that be, if you will, to like provide solutions for some of society's biggest ills, yeah, when totally. Their hands forced. Like this, they could have sorted these things a long time ago if they had wanted to. And I hope that the value of the labour of the working class is never allowed to be like forgotten again. Who knows? This could be the start of a new communist uprising in the UK.
You think? Well, obviously, like it's
workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
It's like everything. There will be obviously political change because of this, but do you think it will be as drastic as that, and that it might lead to like things changing in a significant way?
Bloody revolution, civil unrest. Yeah. I think the conditions for civil unrest are right. And I think that, what's just happened? Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, my screen's just gone black, but you can still see me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can still hear me, so it's fine. I'll keep talking. I think, I don't know, it's really hard to say. I'm not like a political commentator or political theorist by any means, but like I think we were kind of talking about it in my work, my colleagues are concerned that the powers that have been rolled out to enforce lockdown are going to be basically manipulated to allow a police state effectively. Yeah. After this is all, like, they're worried that they've given themselves these powers and they're not going to be very happy to give them back after the end of the crisis. But I think if that kind of thing were to happen, then I think, yeah, there will be like an out and out civil war on our hands. I think, I don't think that's likely to happen because I think people are like too angry, and I think the government are aware that people are too angry and they don't want to risk it. But we'll see, because I think that, but then we did just vote in another Tory government in December, so who knows? Who knows?
I've thought about that myself, about in terms of like all this new legislation and kind of like powers to do lockdowns and stuff, and whether or not that'll be rescinded after.
Yeah, I know it's scary. Well, you've got to hope it and assume that it will be, because it is like exceptional circumstances, but it is a concern. But I think it's necessary. Like, well, I don't know. Is it necessary? Like, in countries like China, where they're like recovering kind of societies, things are going back to normal now. They've got a lot more. When they tell people to stay at home, they stay at home, you know?
Yeah.
which is difficult here. People, European and particularly British exceptionalism is a really fucked up thing, and I think this virus has exposed it, as it's exposed all sorts of mad shit. Like people are on the one hand, they're kind of casting aspersions about fucking racist dog whistles like bushmeat and wet market and shit like that. And then in the next, they're like going, can you stop chewing up that shirt, please? Sorry, I was just kind of chewing up one of my shirts. And then the next minute, they're like going down, fucking taking their kids to the park and middle class Ville surrounded by all the other families. And it's like, how are people contracting a virus on the other side of the world a problem when you're like flouting the rules and going out and spreading? I don't know. A lot of hypocrisy. Sorry, I'm really distracted right now. If I'm not stopped making sense there, it's because I think I'm going to have to go and grab the cat.
Yes, all right. No worries.
I need to move. I mean, we need to rearrange our... to rearrange our bedroom because like I've got dresses that are not like they're just on a rail rather than in a wardrobe and she can climb up them. So I think my dresses are going to go into the wardrobe and Tam's shirts and stuff will go out onto the rail because she won't be able to climb up to us. We'll see. Interesting content. Conversations about kitten based feng shui.
Yeah. It's funny, I think like everyone in the UK just seems to love to bend the rules. Like you get given like lockdown conditions and everyone's just trying to see how like much they can stretch them so they can do what they want to do.
The worst thing, one of the worst things I saw, and it feels like a different world now because it was a few weeks ago, but do you remember like it was just as Spain was like things were getting, like Spain had been put on lockdown. And there was a video of like classic gammon British tourists in Spain there on holiday that were like flouting all the, again, like out and about on the streets, ignoring the lockdown, police officers telling them to please go home. And they're like steaming, like causing mayhem when like all of Seville is like completely dead and there's not another soul. And it's like, you just know that those like, fucking true blue Daily Mail types would be the first bell if there was foreigners, and I would like the record, I would like it to be known in the record that when I did foreigners, I made air quotes. If there were foreigners in Britain ignoring the governmental regulations and rules, they would be the first ones to be up in arms about it. I think it's just exposed. It's just crystallized and just brought into such clear focus the like hypocrisy that's at the heart and how much colonial kind of rhetoric still rules people's minds in Britain, and like that's become really apparent to me through this crisis. And the hypocrisy has just been, but I don't want to be a total bummer. It's nice that people are learning how to bake and sew and stuff. People are being thriftier. Like, I do think it could be a great thing. I don't want to sound like too much of like an eco-fascist, but as I said at the very beginning, like, this is just something that happens every 100 years or so. Like, yes, it's terribly fucking sad that people die in their thousands or tens of thousands. Like, that's awful. That's horrible. But it happens. It happens. Death is the only sure fact of life. Like, everybody's going to die of something. Happens every once in a while, and it just so happens that this one is coming at a point in humanity where a point in the global history where the earth could really fucking do with everyone staying at home for a few months. but that doesn't mean I think that humanity is the virus and earth is healing. I don't think that. I don't, but I'm not like a crusty.
I've not heard that expression in a long time.
No, I say it all the time, but I think once you, if you smoke a certain amount of weed, then you're just like an honorary crusty, regardless of whether you have dreads or not, and whether you wear hemp or not, and whether you like have a day job or do the festival circuit. I do both. I'm 1 foot in each camp.
What do you think about the like how everything's kind of gone online. I mean, it's not really surprising, but how like how much like live streaming and stuff's going on.
Gigs and that.
Yeah.
I think it's great, and I think it's like awesome to see the kind of ingenuity and creativity taking different forms. I think there are some art forms that people need to be in a room together for the magic to really happen. And I think it's not a total substitute, but I think it's great, and I would really encourage people to like support it, these streams as much as they can, especially like if you watch and you enjoy it, consider donating, because a lot of my friends are in arts full time. That is what they do. Like, I'm lucky because although I am a poet and I do perform a lot and all the rest, like, that's not my primary form of income by any means. In fact, it only makes up a very tiny sliver of my income. I've got two other jobs, proper jobs, and then other side hustles because I'm a hustler. Diva, female version of a hustler. But a lot of my arts friends are in the arts full time, and that's 100% of their income is gone now.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how hard they hustle, they doesn't matter because the gigs aren't there. So, like, I watch people. I mean, all of my poetry shows got cancelled. But, like, again, compared to people who work full time, I've got maybe like, over the couple of months, I've had maybe like 10 shows cancelled. There'll be some people that have had whole tours, book tours, like fucking workshops, speaking engagements, book festivals, all the rest. So if you can support the arts right now, do it. Do it. Childproof voice. Do it.
Have you seen Hustlers, the film? Just you haven't said Hustler.
No.
There.
I haven't, but I see that it's on.
It's on Amazon
Prime now.
Yeah.
So I might try and convince Tam to watch it. But you know what he's fucking like. So maybe you can work on him for me.
It's good. Tam's got the sauce seal of approval.
I will. I'll pass that on. Yeah. No, but it looks good. I mean, I am big on. Although the one thing I don't like about Hustlers, and the reason I didn't go and see it in the cinema, is because apparently the strippers that actually work, I'm obviously, you know, that I'm big on my sex workers' rights, and apparently the strippers that actually, like, you know, worked in that club when it was emptied for filming, like, they were put out of work for however long whilst they were filming in their club, and they didn't get any sort of like compensation or anything towards it. And I was like, that's a bit of shit. If you're making a film about like these people and putting them out of work whilst you do it, then you should probably compensate them. But I'm gonna, hopefully watch it. Maybe tonight. Maybe.
Who knows?
World I'll is let them know it's got your stamp of approval, and hopefully that'll sell it for me.
Hopefully. How long do you think we'll be in lockdown?
I'll say for at least another month.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Like, till the end of April. I think it might be relaxed to like a soft lockdown.
Okay.
By the end of April. I don't think things are going to go back to, like, normal. And also, I think the baseline of normal is going to have changed. But, like, yeah, I can see things being relaxed by the end of this month. But, like, pubs and that being open again, fuck knows. But hopefully the hairdressers aren't shut for too long, because I'm starting to look like an actual, like, spaniel. No, I look like an Afghan hound.
When you say you think that like normality baseline will have changed, what do you think will be different? Do you think people will be a lot more like socially aware of how easy it is to transfer germs or disease, I suppose? Do you think that'll sort of become open everyone's minds?
I think that, yeah. But also I think in terms of like the economy, the effect it's going to have like on the economy, I don't think things are going to, when I say I think the baseline's going to be changed, I mean, I just don't think it's going to be like, it's not just going to be one day society, it's just going to like start again.
Yeah, totally.
And, like, all things is going to be usual. Like, the economy is going to, like, global economy is going to have suffered, but also like the socio-political ramifications of the response to this, and also like we're still in it, we're still in the middle of it, so who fucking knows how it's gonna go.
Yeah,
like things could get even more batshit, but I do think that people, I also think like, I think that people like will be more, I think young people have been encouraged through this to learn skills that we have been sorely lacking, that like a generation or two ago were commonplace. Like, people are learning to sew, they're learning to bake, they're learning to cook, learning to knit, things like that, learning to be thrifty, learning to grow vegetables, like, yeah, not just not being wasteful as well. Like, I think that's going to be a shift. And I don't think capitalism as it, as I say, I'm not like, I'm not an economist, I'm not a political commentator, and I don't want to pretend that I am. But, like, I don't know if, like, globalized capitalism as it, like, late-stage capitalism as it existed pre-coronavirus, I don't know if that'll be able to, like,
I go back to it.
Just start functioning again. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think there's going to have to be, like, a redrawing of the boundaries. As I said, communist revolution, global communist revolution, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for it. What do you see happening?
I'm quite kind of fully in agreement with you. I don't think it'll be like everyone, there's loads of stuff on Facebook right about it being like the day the lockdown ends, we're gonna have like the biggest, like
the day the pubs open.
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen like that. I think much in the same way there was kind of like a bit of a transition period into it, I think there'll be the same coming out of it, but it'll be a lot longer. It'll be a lot kind
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like I say, I think there'll be a short time where people are a lot more concerned about hygiene and things like that. And
it won't last the way.
Yeah, I don't think it'll last, but I think it'll be a couple of months of it. And then I think things will sort of ease back to some sort of normality. But like you say, no one knows what will happen with the economy and whether or not, yeah, people will go 100% back to it. Things were before.
Fuck it, let's see. But I'm, without simplifying it too much, I can't wait till we can go for a pint again.
True. I bought a keg
I'm
this weekend.
So excited. Nice.
So that
from
was
Fierce, or
yeah, from Fierce. Dog. From Fierce.
From Fierce. Yeah, I saw that they were doing them. I was thinking about ordering some beers in from them for like the weekend, but maybe the next weekend.
I would recommend. Right, I'll let you go have your tea. Thanks for speaking to me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sauce Pot. Do you want to say hi to Tam before I go?
Yeah, no worries. I'll stop the recording.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. I certainly enjoyed having Molly on. It's always great to speak to her. It'd been a couple of years, actually, since we recorded any. We did like quite a few right at the start in betweens, really, the first year or so. But then we hadn't done one in quite a while, so it was really good to get a catch up. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to keep this outro brief, but just want to say a big thanks to everyone on social media for their messages. I don't know if you might not have seen it if you don't follow me, but I put up that we had the Dundee Uni dance club hip hop team. They contacted me a couple of months ago and asked to wear the Mood Swings t-shirts for their upcoming competitions. I put them in touch with our supplier, and they arranged it all pretty much themselves. I had to help out with a couple of bits with the design and things like that, but we got it all sorted for them. They got the t-shirts in plenty of time for their competition, and they competed in them. And they won two competitions and came second place in two others out of the four that they competed in. So absolutely massive well done to them. It was fucking ace to see them, the photos and the videos of them in all in the mood swings tops. It was really cool. And yeah, thanks to everyone for the messages saying that that they also enjoyed seeing that, and it was great. Because it was one of those things that sort of, we arranged that a couple of months ago, and I kind of almost, it was so surreal and bizarre when I got asked to do it that I didn't quite believe it. Sorted it out, away they went, kind of forgot about it, and then kind of in the last week or so I started seeing the photos and things. And yeah, it's been really nice to see all that, and to hear they did so well as well. It's great. And yeah, it was cool. A lot of the girls and guys from the hip-hop team as well have shared it on shared the page and things on social media, which is great. So yeah, all around an absolutely brilliant thing, and pretty pleased with it. Okay, I'm going to leave you with a poem from Molly, and I'll be back on Monday with some more episodes. I've got some guests lined up over the weekend and can't wait to get them recorded and out to you. Okay, stay safe, stay inside, and catch you on Monday. Cheers.
After months of neglect, the desperate stench of slovenly inertia permeates all it is near. Stale air hangs stagnant between windows double locked and hidden away behind yellowed curtains, protecting the soft-bellied creatures within from the gnawing harshness of a long winter and the many sets of chattering teeth outside, babbling warnings of end times fast approaching. Time then to make a decision. To die here, hidden in squalor, choked out by gold leaf smoke and mildew and animal hair, weakened by the festering sores and wasted limbs of the shut-in. Or to roll up grubby sleeves and scrub clean all that has become unlivable. Mop up the blood and sweat spilled with bleach and steel wool and elbows greased with tough love. Backbreaking work, dirty and wearisome and crucial, leaving bodies tender and bruised, and briefly it will be excruciating. But then, as the screaming discomfort of forgotten muscles suddenly put to use, and pupils fretfully contracting in the searingly unfamiliar daylight reaches its painful climax, abruptly it is over. Fresh air floods loosening lungs, breathing easier. April showers wash away the grime and the glumness and the blinking shut-ins, gaunt and frail from hibernation, fill their soft bellies and adjust to their new, brighter existence.